Let's begin tonight in Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Throughout the Mosaic dispensation, every day in the Jewish nation opened and closed with a sacrifice of a lamb at the altar of God. A lamb was offered upon God's altar at the door of the tabernacle every morning at the beginning of every day. Every day was concluded with the lamb again being sacrificed and offered to God at the door of the tabernacle upon his altar. And with that, each day was concluded. The Lord God said, I will meet you to speak there unto thee. The lamb sacrificed was the place where God met with men, spoke to men, and made himself known to men. The lamb sacrificed at the altar of God is the place where men came to God, worshiped him, spoke to him, and were received by him. There was no other place given, no other promise of God meeting with men, except in that lamb sacrificed at God's altar as God commanded. And the Lord God declares that this lamb is that by which his tabernacle, his people, were all accepted before him and sanctified. The priest, the people, his prophet, they are sanctified, he said, by my glory. Read it with me. Exodus 29, verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. Verse 39. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine, for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Verse 43. And there will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, that I may be the Lord their God. Now don't miss this. In verse 43, the Lord God declares in this typical revelation given by his law that sanctification was by the sacrifice of a lamb. And we're told in verse 43 that it is by God's glory. That's what he's referring to. He says you're sanctified by this lamb, and he's telling us that his lamb is his glory. Does he mean for us to understand that the whole revelation of God, the whole of his glory, is wrapped up in the sanctification of his people, and that the sanctification of his people is altogether in a lamb? That's exactly what it means for us to understand. The whole of God's glory, as it is revealed and known to men, is wrapped up in the everlasting salvation of his people. And the salvation of his people, the whole of God's glory, as it is revealed and known to men, is wrapped up in a lamb. Turn with me, if you will, now to our text, Exodus chapter 13. And I want you to just hold your Bibles open here. And I want to talk to you, if God will enable me, on this subject, A lamb for an ass. A lamb for an ass. Look at verse 2 of Exodus 13. The Lord commands, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Sanctify to me all the firstborn, both of man and of beast, it is mine. But in the book of Leviticus, we won't turn there and look at it. You can look at verse 11 of Leviticus 27 later. God gives another command. He says, the unclean cannot be sacrificed to him. Well, what about the unclean beast? The firstborn of the unclean beast. What about those beasts? Those beasts that don't chew the cud or split the hoof. What about those beasts? How are they going to be sanctified unto the Lord if God says, you cannot give me the unclean beast? You cannot sacrifice to me the unclean beast. How then is it possible to sanctify the unclean as that which belongs to God, and yet the law be maintained that says you cannot bring the unclean to me? How can the firstborn of all be sanctified to the Lord, and yet no unclean thing be offered to him? The Lord God himself answers that question. In our text this evening, he tells us that the ass was to be redeemed and made clean and accepted by God through the sacrifice of a lamb in its stead. Verse 11, Exodus 13. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and everything, every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. The Lord Jesus came to fulfill God's law. The types and the pictures and the ceremonies, all speaking of him. And this is what the Lord Jesus declares in Hebrews chapter 10. Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. And the Holy Spirit interprets those words like this. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now I want to show you four things clearly set before us in this beautiful picture given in the law of God concerning the sacrifice of a lamb for an unclean ass, by which the ass is made clean and acceptable to God. Here's the first thing. The ass, because it is an unclean animal, could not be accepted by God Almighty. The ass was unclean. It could not be accepted. The law prohibited any man from offering the sacrifice of the unclean ass at God's altar. And so it is with fallen man. Unclean man cannot be accepted by God. God will never accept the unclean. God will never accept the impure. God will never accept that which is not perfect. It must be perfect to be accepted. That means, James Jordan, you and I are shut out altogether by ourselves. Anything that is unclean or maketh a lie or worketh abomination cannot enter into God's presence. The plainest statements in Scripture make that clear. According to the law of God, no animal was considered clean except the animal which both divided the hoof and chewed the cud. And by that standard, every man is unclean. But the Lord God sacrificed a lamb, even his own dear son, for chosen sinners, and made the unclean altogether clean. I've got to say this first. I've got more to say, and I'll come back to this, but I've got to say this first. This is the wonder of grace. Being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we who are by nature altogether unclean and unfit, unacceptable to God, we who can never approach Him and can never be approached by Him except in wrath, we who can never offer Him anything or do anything that He will accept, through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, He has made us every whit clean. Clean before God. Made us now fit to sit down above all principality and power in heavenly places with Christ. Indeed, He has seated us with Him in the heavens, so that we who by nature are nothing but unclean before Him, by grace are altogether clean, without spot, without blemish before God. Now, I had to tell you that first, but my point for now is this. Like the unclean ass, fallen man is incapable of acceptance with God. Because, as the prophet said, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. We are unclean at heart, unclean in thought, unclean in all our nature, unclean in every deed of our hands. Out of the filthy, polluted fountain of humanity, nothing clean can come. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. It's not possible. What does that mean? That means that it's impossible for a human being, man, woman, or child. It is impossible for a son of Adam or a daughter of Adam, no matter their age, it is impossible for a human being to do anything acceptable to God Almighty. So much for works religion. So much for works religion. What are you going to do that will give you approval with God? What are you going to do that will put away your sin? What will a man do that God will accept? So, well, I don't know. I know we're not perfect, but surely that doesn't mean we can't do anything good. That's what God said. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, we measure ourselves with ourselves, and we don't have any trouble finding somebody we can look at and say, well, at least I'm not like him, because we don't all behave the same way. The problem is we begin the measurement in the sewer line, and we're all unclean. We are all unclean, and everything we do is unclean. We cannot obey God's law. We cannot do good. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves clean. Now, stay with me as we are in the text here. A man might take his filthy donkey and make him smell better by washing him up, but it's still an unclean donkey. He might separate his filthy thing from other filthy things like it and put it in the flock with his sheep and cause it to graze with his sheep all the time, but it's still an unclean ass. He might even, by torturous devices, take some measure and cleave the filthy thing's hooves so that it looks like an animal whose hoof is divided, and now he's clean. But he's still just an unclean beast. That's all. And so it is with man. By all the outward things that they do, or the outward things that are done to them by religion, by morality, by education, all of them do nothing to change the unclean nature of the beast called humanity. Man by nature, strive as he may, can never be made clean before God, accepted with the thrice holy God, except by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. Turn to the book of Job. We won't look at others, just the book of Job. Job chapter 9. The psalmist said, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Job says in verse 20 of chapter 9, "If I justify myself," his fake friends were accusing him of attempting to justify himself. And before men, that's not hard. And it was only right. Job had been falsely accused, and he justified himself before his accusers. He didn't do so thinking that he was justifying himself before the ungodly and his enemies. He was justifying himself before his friends who misunderstood things. But when he speaks of justifying himself before God, he said, "If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse." Verse 30. "If I wash my hand myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. By the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died for nothing. If there's something that men can do, if there is the possibility of something men can do to make themselves righteous before God, there was absolutely no reason for the Son of God to die." All right, here's the second thing. The Lord God would not receive the unclean ass. He refused to accept it because it was unclean. Yet, look at verse 2. In the very last line of verse 2, God would not relinquish his claim upon that ass. He said, "It is mine. It is mine." He said, "The firstborn of every man, the firstborn of every beast is mine. It's mine. Sanctify the firstborn. It's mine. The unclean ass, sanctify it. It's mine. The unclean son, sanctify him. He's mine. Every firstling that comes forth from the womb, God says, is mine." And he would not relinquish his claim upon it. He claimed the firstborn of man and beast, the clean and the unclean. And yet, the unclean ass, he would not accept. He would not receive. And nothing has changed. God still claims you and me. He still claims possession of every human being, the clean and the unclean. He still claims possession of everything on this earth, and still makes the same demands of men as he did of old. He said to Abraham, "Walk thou before me and be thou perfect in all your life." That was his command. You can read it in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And his command hasn't changed. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold your hands here. The command of the law reads like this: "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all the ways of your life, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. God won't receive the unclean sinner. It'll never happen. And yet God commands the sinner to be sanctified, to be holy before Him. Now, there are many who tell us that God doesn't require more of man than man has the ability to perform. That God will never command a man to do something he is not able to do. We're told that the gospel of God's grace lowers the standard. The gospel doesn't demand the same things the law demands. But those things simply are not true. God has not and will not lower His standard. That very same gospel that says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord precedes that statement by declaring the wages of sin is death. God says, be holy, for I am holy. He says, walk before me and be perfect, because I, the Lord your God, am perfect. Your inability to pay your debt before God does not remove your debt. Our inability to obey God's law does not relieve us of the responsibility of obeying God's law. Can you imagine? Sometimes the fellows would just stop and think about things a little bit. Can you imagine some thief standing before a judge in the most liberal court in this land? And that's saying something. Can you imagine some thief standing before a judge and saying, Your Honor, sir, I have such an inward, overwhelming, irresistible tendency to dishonesty that I just cannot prevent myself from stealing every time I get a chance. Therefore, the law doesn't apply to me. Well, the fellow, we won't put him in jail, we'll put him in a nut house. What foolishness. And yet, folks, would have us to believe that God's law is altered because man hasn't the ability to obey His law. Nothing of the kind. I hasten to add this. The sinner's inability to trust Christ as his Savior and Lord doesn't relieve him of the responsibility. Now, I want you to turn again and see this. Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to see it for yourself. People tell me all the time. Well, they don't tell me. They tell others about me. That's not consistent. That's not consistent. You can't say a man has no ability to believe and then say he's responsible to believe. You can't say a man has no ability to come to Christ and then say that God's going to hold him accountable for not coming to Christ. I wouldn't think about saying such a thing. But God says so everywhere. Now, this is the revelation of Scripture. If you go to heaven, if you're saved, it will be God's doing alone. And if you go to hell, it'll be your doing alone. Your responsibility and no one else's. Proverbs 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Did God say that? Read it again, will you? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Does that mean if right now you turn to Him, He will pour out His spirit on you? That's just what it means. That's just what it means. Oh, but Brother Don, you know that if a man turns, it's because God poured out His spirit on him. I know that. I know that. I know that. And I know God said if you turn to Him right now, He'll pour out His spirit on you. That's what He said. Well, I can't reconcile those two things. I might not be able to, but I can believe them. I can sure enough believe them. This is what it said. Now watch what it says. I will make known my words to you. Verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Have you ever been embarrassed by stretching out your hand for somebody and they refuse to take it? Embarrassment quickly turns to anger, doesn't it? Stretch out your hand and they refuse to take it. Thought we'd get arrested, I'd knock your head off. That's exactly right. Well, God's going to knock your head off. Rita, you said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. How come? Look at verse 24 again. Because I called and you refused. How come? Look down here, verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Which sinners go to hell. They shall eat the fruit they've chosen and be filled with the devices they have chosen. That's what it says. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. You see, man's inability is not his misfortune. It is his sin. And the first thing the Spirit of God does when he comes to sinners in conviction, he convinces us of sin because we believe not on Christ. That's the very first thing. Of sin. Our sin. Our rebellion. Our inward enmity in our hearts against God. And it's revealed in not believing on the Son of God. The ass could not be redeemed or could not be accepted. It could not be accepted, but it still belonged to God. And God demanded either redeem it or break its neck. The Lord says, for every idle word that men speak, they shall be called into judgment. Man is responsible before God. In his uncleanness, though he has no ability to change his uncleanness. Here's the third thing. God met the difficulty. He said in verse 13, in the very opening line, every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb. What a beautiful picture of God's free grace. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken such things as we are and redeemed us and made us clean before God. Often in the Scriptures, man is compared to an ass. Job said, vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. And such we are by nature. You and I by nature are senseless, stubborn, unclean, obnoxious, utterly unacceptable to God, and incapable of making ourselves acceptable to God. But the Lord Jesus takes such unfit things and makes them clean. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is how God opens up and shows his love. Christ died for us. And this is God's glory. Christ has redeemed the people. Redeemed us to himself by the sacrifice of himself. How? He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now this is the gospel I preach to you, and I call on you to declare to this generation, to everyone you hear, Christ Jesus died that we might never die. He was cursed that we might be forever blessed. He was rejected that we might forever be accepted. He died that we might live forever. He was made sin that we might be made righteousness in him. He took our place that we might forever stand in his place. He became what we were to make us what he is. And that's the only way there is for a sinner to be accepted with God. Salvation is by the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. Mr. Spurgeon once said, the heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. If you would understand this book, you must begin here and end here. Sanctification, the salvation of sinners, is by the sacrifice of a lamb. And that's what this book is all about. And in the sacrifice of that lamb, the glory of God is revealed. Because in the sacrifice of that lamb, the unclean are made clean. Oh, God help you to see it, to see him, and to believe him. Christ took our place on the cursed tree. Maybe you think, well, Brother Don, how can I know he died for me? Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Will you now believe him? Will you now cast your soul on his blood and righteousness? If you do, if you believe the Son of God, the Lamb of God was slain for you. And your faith in him is the evidence of God the Holy Spirit written on your heart that he died in your stead and has made you clean before God. And if he died in your stead, you shall never die. If Jesus Christ died in my room and in my stead, if he bore all the hell of God's wrath for me, if he bore all the judgment for me, if he bore all the condemnation of me until justice is satisfied and God says fury is not in me, then it is not possible for me to die under God's wrath. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who satisfied justice for his own. Bless God for that good news. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. But there's a fourth thing in the text, and I've got to tell you that too. The law declares, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. No alternative. The firstling of the ass must either be redeemed by a lamb or it must be slain at God's altar. Why at God's altar? Right here. Right here where God accepts the sacrifice. Right here where God Almighty reveals his glory. Right here. At the altar, at the door of the tabernacle, right here in Jesus Christ, God's Son. The ass must either be made clean or it must be slain. How come? Because God Almighty will never give up his claims. He'll never give them up. Either you must have Christ as your substitute, or justice demands that you must be forever slaughtered in your uncleanness. Forever clean or forever unclean. Either Christ or hell. There's no alternative. Believe on the Son of God and live forever. Or refuse to believe and forever be damned. And if you refuse to believe, If you will not trust God's Son, and your neck is broken forever under the wrath of God in hell, you will have obtained exactly what you've chosen by your willful unbelief. You will eat the fruit of your own way, and you will be filled with your own devices. And everybody will say amen. That's right. How they deserve the deepest hell who hate the Son of God. I've had more than one person say to me on more than one occasion, "You can't tell me my daddy, my mama, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter deserves to go to hell. I won't worship a God who would send my child to hell. I won't worship a God who would send my mama to hell." How they deserve the deepest hell who hate the Son of God. What chains of vengeance they must feel who trample on His blood. Oh, God help you now to believe His Son. God help you to believe His Son. You who are unclean, who hate His name and your uncleanness, in all your behavior is but the revelation of the hatred of your heart for Him and the uncleanness of your heart. God help you to believe who deserve His wrath. Christ the clean was made unclean that He might make the unclean clean forever. Blessed be His name forever. Amen.